Well, good morning, everybody. There is a beautiful story of a little kid who, he's a middle schooler. He comes home and he's very excited and he tells his parents that he just got a part in the school play. And he's real excited about it. And his dad says, "Oh, that's awesome. What's your part?" And he says, "Oh, I play the part of a guy that's been married for 50 years. And the dad says, "That's great, son. I just wish they gave you a speaking part." I was thinking of that little thing because I'm very excited. Our school play this semester is going to be Beauty and the Beast. And I was thinking of Beauty and the Beast because, remember, it's envy that only almost gets the beast killed. And St. Paul talks about envy today in our second reading. He talks about the foot that wants to be the hand, and the hand that wants to be the foot, and the ear that wants to be the nose, and all these different body parts that want to be the other parts. And it's one of St. Paul's most beautiful and eloquent letters. He wrote it to the church in Corinth, evidently in the first century, probably in the year 56 is what they think. Evidently in that time, there was a problem of envy in the church. You know, envy is one of the seven deadly sins. And it's kind of, St. Thomas Aquinas said, it's the only sin that's not fun. You know, at least the other sins are fun, you know. There's another story of a woman, and she goes to the priest and she says, "Father, my husband, I have a bad feeling. He doesn't come home at the end of the day. He goes right to the bar, and he's not here for me. He's not here for the kids." And the priest says, "Oh, your husband is a miserable sinner." She says, "Sinner? Yeah, he's not miserable though." But envy is the only sin that's not fun. And envy destroys, just like all of the deadly sins. Envy has quite a destructive power about it. It has a way of destroying, deadening, or maybe crippling our spirits. I don't know if you've ever had this experience of knowing somebody who suffers from envy and who feels very badly about themselves. And you wish you could tell them. Like, you look at them and you just, "I wish I could tell you how amazing you are. Like, how I see you. And how I see you is nothing compared to the way that God sees you." But it has this effect of making us feel like dirt. And it, in that way, deadens. Has this deadly effect upon us. It's nothing really new. It was in the church in Corinth. It was in the very first pages of Scripture. You remember Cain and Abel and how Abel had a better sacrifice. Cain gets envious of it. You remember the story of Jacob and his sons and Joseph, the youngest, who was loved by his father in a particular way. And the other sons are envious. And in both of these cases, this envy prompts them to do the unspeakable, to try to kill. Cain succeeds. It's also in the New Testament, right? We remember all the tenants who get envious of the other tenants who get more money than they do. Or we hear about the apostles, the sons of thunder, who want to be first in God's favor and in his kingdom. Envy really does destroy a lot more than we could possibly imagine. And it's because it destroys our spirits. There's two ways to fight against it that I could think of. There's probably a lot more. But the first way to fight against envy is admiration. There's a priest who said, you know, a very wise old priest, who said, you know, "The older I get, the more I realize that everybody I meet is in some way better than I am." And it's true, because he said everybody has some way of looking at life that I don't have, some insight into it that I don't have, experiences that I don't have. Everybody's comes from a different, has a different story. And he said, it's not that I feel badly about myself, but it's to say that others are in some ways better. But then he said, I still think at the end of the day, it's a good thing to look in the mirror and say, there's nobody else I'd rather be. Isn't that beautiful? To be able to say that every day, there's nobody else I would rather be. Because who I am is who God made me to be. If he wanted me to be somebody else, he would have made me that person. But he made me me. You know, it's almost Catholic schools. It is Catholic Schools Week. And one of the things that we strive so hard to do in at St. Joe and is to instill self-confidence. That kids should be confident in who they are, that they should love who they are. Not to say I'm better than everybody else, but to say that I love who I am because God loved me as I am into existence, the way that I am. Yep, others may have advantages that I don't have. They may have fortunes that I don't have. They may have gifts, but guess what? I also have things that maybe they don't have. I think I've told you before, I've always been jealous of Father Rodriguez's hair. But then I console myself and I think, well, surely he is jealous of all my muscles. But I think that we all have blessings, right? And so admiration helps us to admire the gifts that others have. It helps the foot to admire the handness of the hand and the noseness of the nose. You should admire those things. The foot should also admire the footness of the foot. The footness of who? Does that make sense to you? It makes sense to me. And so that's the one thing, admiration. And then the second is rejoicing. Our first reading ends with this most beautiful thing. Do not be saddened this day, for rejoicing in the Lord must be your strength. We rejoice in the Lord. Ultimately, we rejoice in who we are. We rejoice in who others are. And for that reason, the priest is right. We should rejoice and look in the mirror and say, there's nobody else I'd rather be. Do you know, if we place a small value on ourselves, the world will not raise our price. We should be rejoicing in who we are, the role that we play in the greater body. And we give thanks and grace to God for that. Our gospel, my last comment, Jesus comes into a group of people who probably wished they had a different lot in life. Some of them were blind. Some of them were oppressed. Some of them were poor. He comes into this group of people who were likely quite envious of others, and he unrolls a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he reads it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord. But guess what? That same Spirit that was on Jesus is on us too. And so, in other words, our job is to go out and to love other people, to tell them how wonderful they are. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.